Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. If you suffer a sprain, strain, or fracture, the University of Kansas Health System offers orthopedic walk-in care at 435 and Nall in Overland Park. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
Gentlemen, let's go.
Let's go.
We ain't got no time to waste. Let's go.
Let's go.
You are now listening to Jason Anderson, and you are in the zone.
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
So, yeah, I rubbed up quite a few balls in my life. Sure was a good learning experience. 0-1 on Santana.
You're in the zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I wasn't sure if I was supposed to start talking after that first part. I was sitting here thinking, are we ready to go? Is Beards going to say, mic's on, go? Am I just supposed to assume I'll kind of just wait, and if he's getting panicky with the music running out, then he would then come on and say, hey, guys, go. Ready to go. Music's playing. Glad I waited it out.
Beard said right before we started, hey, trust me on the intro.
Yeah, he did.
And I still didn't trust him.
No, of course
when
not.
All the radio silence was happening. But I think it was important for the comedic timing of that bit.
By the way, do you want to know who was at bat during that on the Seattle Yankees broadcast?
Oh, I know.
I believe I know as well.
Royals legend Carlos Santana.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I was going to go Castellanos.
Ooh, that would have
been
good.
Better if it was Castellanos. Although, you need something serious if it's Castellanos up at the plate.
Yes, it would have been like, had this horrible thing. My dog got, remember having this anti-dog theme on the zone recently? I don't mean
Absolutely.
To be doing that, but anyway, I hope everybody's dogs out there are doing great.
When you see Castellanos getting ready to come to the plate as a broadcaster, you don't get into anything serious.
Correct.
You keep it lighthearted and fun every time, no matter what. And at that point, you will be safe. You will have all of your bases covered, just like the Royals were able to do, as they're continuing to win and play good baseball and fun baseball and make baseball fun again. That is going on out at Kauffman Stadium. They've got a game this afternoon against the White Sox, wrapping up this series against the Southsiders. And we'll see what the Royals can do today, as Zach Greinke will go to the mound against Dylan Cease. And Dylan Cease, who has been really, really good this year with a sub-2 ERA. And Zach Greinke, who has been up and down, had his highs and lows, and has had stretches where he's been really good and stretches where he has struggled. So we'll see this afternoon what the Royals look like, if they can keep their fun baseball going. Hopefully, that is the case for the Royals today. 913-912-4810 is the text line to be a part of the show. 913-912-4810, the text line. It is the zone on a Thursday. Jason Anderson, Josh Briscoe, Beards back at the studio. We head up until 2 o'clock. We are hanging out at the Midland Theater because the 100-year celebration for WHB going on tonight. Cannot wait. Pumped for it. Looking forward to the celebration, the festivities, the entertainment that will be going on, the conversations, the roundtables, the performances, things like that. So cannot wait for tonight, and we are just kind of getting rolling here at the Midland Theater with St. John the previous 4 hours, hanging out here and the different guests that they had on. That'll be some dignitaries and some honorees tonight with the 100-year celebration. So that is going on today over the next 4 hours as well, and on into the program with Seren Petro out here as well, and on into then all of the guests showing up and the listeners and all of that stuff. So looking forward to tonight, and should be a whole lot of fun. Hopefully you have already won tickets to the event, and if you are wanting to come out, and that has been the case, hopefully that has happened for you. If not, Briscoe's going to take notes, and he will release them tonight.
Yeah.
The Roberts Rules of Order, he will be the one keeping track of all of that.
I do want to, like,
he'll be taking the minutes.
I was thinking, well, you know, I have an idea that I'm actually not going to tell you about until I figure out if it works or not.
Okay.
But the other thing is that I wanted to just at some point today kind of pregame plan with you a little bit, because I don't want to give away any of the surprises that are going to be happening. But we can reveal, I think, that you and I at some point will be on the stage here at the beautiful Midland Theater with microphones in front of us, and we will at least have the opportunity to speak into them at mm-hmm. some point. And I was totally comfortable with every element of that idea until I started thinking about all the times that I have attended this theater as a fan of various bands. Most recently, My Brother, My Brother and Me. It's a podcast. They went up there, and I was thinking, hey, they did a podcast.
You came here just to watch your brother?
My two brothers, and then also me. Yeah, Beards and I, and Rudy was here. Some other friends of ours, fiance Renee, we all came, and that was the last time I was in here. It wasn't very long ago. And like, if you're coming here today, maybe you haven't been before, or like Jason, literally right now, just look up.
Oh, I know, right?
This theater is unbelievable. And when I started kind of confronting the fact that this is a place I have paid to watch people on stage many times, I'm always thrilled whenever this is announced as a venue for an act I want to see. Right around then, I started thinking, huh, we should not bleep this up, huh?
Yeah, I haven't thought about that yet. Not really. It's not really something that's on my mind. I figure whatever happens, happens. You know, if it's good, it's good. If it's bad, it's bad. We move on, and hopefully I'll be on the air tomorrow at 10 o'clock. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? People boo, I walk off the stage, and I go to sleep, and I wake up tomorrow morning and get Juliet ready for school, and little man gets ready for school, and then I come in, I prep for the show, and then at 10 o'clock we start talking, and 11 o'clock we got Matt Derrick, and then we'll hear from Mick Schaefer, and we'll talk about the preseason game for the Chiefs, and I'll go on about my weekend after that. That's what I'm guessing. If it's great, I don't know. Maybe I get hired by some comedy tour. Is Second City hiring, you know?
I'm sure there'll be scouts in the crowd here today.
Based on 2 minutes of a presentation of some sort? You know,
yeah.
Really looking forward to that. Like I said, it's 2 minutes, all right? Typically, I do my best work in 2 minutes.
Well, look, that of course, at least you're comfortable with the time span.
That's exactly right.
That's important.
Absolutely.
I don't even know what we could do to ruin it. I just want to
just being there.
I just want to make sure that our mere presence doesn't do that. And I haven't told anybody about this, so please do keep this on the down low.
Uh-huh.
But I am planning on at some point getting up there and just doing a medley of some of the my favorite acts that I have seen before, kind of my own sort of that. Remember, like the viral YouTube video of the dancing through history. It's going to be kind of just me doing a nice musical performance for. I'm thinking I can get that done in about an hour, hour and a half, give or take.
Yeah, that'll be fine, and then they'll just do different acts around that. You'll be in the background going through
Ooh.
That, and the show will go on. That'll just be like the background music to the entire show.
Well, I already paid the lighting guy to just keep the spotlight on me solely.
Spotlight,
I need to double-check the wording on that. That's a good point.
Yeah, you got the fine print of the contract. Those things make sense. I was I've been practicing the last 2 weeks or so in the unicycle juggling.
Good. I said don't spoil what we're doing, man. No one – And I also, the last 7 times I've been on a pogo stick, I've suffered horrible injuries. So if you want to trade at any point, rather try the unicycle.
Never once have I been on a pogo stick or a unicycle. Risk averse. That seems way too serious and way too dangerous. Risk averse. No chance that I'll be on a unicycle or a pogo stick.
It's going to be more impressive when you get here and do it.
913-912-4810. Glad to see the regular texters off to his typical Matt at the World start. 913-912-4810 is the text line if you want to weigh in, whether you enjoy life or not. That's fine. 913-912-4810. We'll hear from the Chiefs today coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. It'll be Andy Reid. It will be Justin Reid, and it will be Patrick Mahomes at the press conferences today in St. Joe. We are expecting sometime middle 11 o'clock hour, but it kind of floats. So we'll see when we hear from Andy Reid, Justin Reid, and Patrick Mahomes. That'll be, and Tara Reid might be there as well. That's coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. Craig Stout, KC Sports Network, KC Laboratory Podcast. You know, he's very gracious with his time today that he has told us that if the Chiefs are going to be going long in their press conferences, he's willing to come on at 11 o'clock with us.
What a guy.
if they're going to be starting closer to the 11 o'clock hour, then he'll come on at noon with us.
What
so very cool of Craig Stout to do that. KC Sports Network, KC Laboratory Podcast. And, of course, today we will be playing some sports or leisure. It is presented by Johnny's Tavern, 913-912-4810, sports or leisure, presented by Johnny's Tavern. Also want to let people know, right now at 810WHB.com, the auction that's going on throughout the day, it is live. It will end tonight at 10 o'clock, so you can get in and check out all the cool memorabilia and items that are there that are up for auction right now at 810WHB.com. It'll be going on throughout the day. Again, 10 o'clock tonight is when the auction closes. 810WHB.com, presented by Main Street Buick GMC, Bickmer Electric, and Pizza Shuttle. The auction going on today and the 100-year celebration tonight as well. Looking forward to it. Enjoyed the conversations that the Border Patrol had with the different guests that will be in attendance. Nikki Lopez will be hanging out tonight. Scott Barlow, some others as well. And good and bad, pros and cons to last night's game. Completely selfish. The only negative from last night's game is a 100% selfish take. And that is Scott Barlow with the 17 saves.
Unbelievable.
Needs 21. He was fresh, ready to go, warmed up for the ninth inning. It's 4-3. All the Royals had to do was not score three runs. They can score two in the bottom of the eighth. Score two. Make it 6-3. Great. Easier save for Scott Barlow. I get closer to 21 with not having to buy lunch for everybody. And instead, these young punks with their long hair and their rock and roll music and things like that, their disrespect to the elders, they go out there and they put a four spot on the board. What a bunch of jerks. Then Barlow sits down and Weaver comes in. I'm like, okay, Weaver, come on. Let's give up a couple of runs. Let's get some guys on base. And then, you know, Barlow, who's all, you know, ready to go and hot and warm, he can come in and get this backdoor save, which should have been a front door save. But a save is a save. That would be great. But no, let's go out there and get three outs without giving up a run. And everybody's having a lot of fun, except for Jason. Cool. Great job, baby Royals.
The only thing I'm more upset about than you opening the show with that is the fact that last night, watching that happen, I thought Jason's going to be pissed. Because when I saw Barlow and whoever actually ended up pitching, sorry Weaver for disrespecting you, whenever I saw them both warming up, and I immediately went, well, here's what's happening. If they make this a non-save situation, Barlow's going to sit back down, and Jason is going to be watching this with his hands over his eyes right now, peeking through the gaps in his fingers, because the most important thing that can happen in the Royals' late inning situations now is if Scott Barlow records a major league save or not.
I was not mad or upset when Isbell came through with a two RBI hit. I'm like, oh, nice job, got a couple of runs, 6-3. Now let's chill.
Yeah.
All right, is stealing second? What are you doing, man? Come on, selfish. You don't steal second in the eighth inning up three.
Pad your stats. Just don't score.
That's ridiculous. I mean, you're trying to rub it in, right? I mean, Tatis swinging with bases loaded on a 3-0 pitch when they were up by 12. Like, come on, Tati. Isbell stealing when they're up three already. Ridiculous. Nicky Lopez does his best, and I'll thank him tonight for at least trying to get that save for Scott Barlow. Oh, and then MJ Melendez is like, oh, I'm hot right now. I'm just going to keep getting hits and RBIs and, you know, be all good and stuff. Wow, selfish is he.
How dare he.
Unbelievable. But after that, then it was fun. Then I'm like, you know what, just pour it on at this point. Then Salvi come through and get another RBI. I wanted Pasquantino to hit another 450-foot shot. Like, you know what? Then just poured on it. Now, then I was rooting. Then I was like, yeah, okay, let's go. If you're going to, you know, get to 7, let's get to 13. Let's really have some fun here. Let's pad the stats. Let's go. But, no, it has been enjoyable to watch. And I know we talked about it yesterday, and people will continue that. I enjoyed after the game was over that Michael Massey talking with Joel Goldberg. And one of the questions that Joel asked him live on the field was you grew up a White Sox fan. Now you're a Royal. You're coming through with a huge hit against Johnny Cueto to tie the game after you had the error in the field that gave up a couple of runs. And then that's when Joel Goldberg whispered, "You're still minus one on the night." But you're here and the crowd is cheering. You know, is this starting to become, you know, to get to kind of normal for you? Because not yet.
Mm-hmm.
Not yet. This is not normal. We're getting there, but it is not normal right now what's going on with him and his life. And that's sort of that youthful exuberance. It's what we talked about with Jeff Montgomery yesterday, that, you know, there is that different energy. You can see it when you watch, and I think people are enjoying it more. It's just a matter of now. When that starts to wear off, it's the talent that comes through. That's what I'm watching for. It's awesome that they're winning. They're 5-3 now since the trade deadline, since they officially turned the page with Witt and Rivera, mainly Witt, but Witt, Benintendi, and Santana from earlier in the season, to now having Massey and Prado and Pasquantino and MJ Melendez and Bobby Witt Jr. in the lineup almost every day, Nate Eaton from time to time, like the young guys that we've talked about. They turn the page. They're 5-3 in that time. They've also got some pretty good pitching performances along the way. And, you know, it hasn't been all, what did Whit Merrifield say, roses and sunshine?
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't been all of that. You know, there's been some up and downs along the way. But they've been getting some good pitching performances, and they've been going out and they've been winning these games, and they tack on runs. They're up 4-3, and they find a way to go ahead and put that game out of its misery, and they take a 5-run lead into the ninth, and it's over at that point. Because you do have Barlow waiting in the wings if Weaver can't get it done. Dylan Coleman looked awesome last night. He looked like he was the AH on the mound that he really wants to be. He really wants to be the guy that is just throwing a fastball down the middle, you swing and miss, and then he wants to come and punch you in the face. That's what Dylan Coleman looks like on the mound. And when he can't find the strike zone, it's just kind of like you're trying to be a tough guy. But last night, when he's throwing the slider like he did, when you've got Grandal who's complaining to the umpire, and by the way, he's sitting behind the plate next to the umpire all game, and he's walking off the field on what was an obvious strike and a slider, and he's complaining because he was confused, and he's yelling at the umpire, who he then has to go out the next half inning and sit right in front of. That's going on with Dylan Coleman. Like, those are the things that get you excited about what the future can be. It's not just these younger guys, and we've talked about it, and we need to update it. And that is Chris Bubich now.
Mm-hmm.
Through 13 starts since he's been called back up, 13 starts, he's got a 3.59 ERA now. His whip has been right around what it's been for his entire career. So he would have to then explain why the ERA and the limiting runs is going on while he's allowing around the same number of runners on base throughout his outings. He's right around a 1.4 in his career, and he's at a 1.4 in these 13 starts. Yet he's got a 3.59 ERA. Now, some of it is he's striking out more guys. So if you're putting guys on base, you need more strikeouts. 72 innings that he's pitched in the 13 starts, he's got 63 Ks, which is a little bit higher than what he has had in the past when you're like, okay, this is a guy that's going to be pitching to contact more. He's confident. He's not searching for his fastball that he was early in the season when he couldn't, you know, locate his changeup. He couldn't locate his fastball. He was just a shell of a person that the, you know, a pitcher that the Royals thought they had when they drafted him. And he had one of the best fastballs I've seen from Chris Bubich last night. I mean, he's hitting 95 on the radar gun when he needs it. The changeup was working. I mean, the first batter, 1-2-3, changeup outside, and you get swinging through, and it's like, oh, you know, it wasn't even close. Go ahead and sit down. And you felt good about what Bubich could do. And it's unfortunate that he did not get the win last night because of how well he pitched. And it was a hot shot. It was a rocket, you know, to Massey. But we do talk about his gold glove in the minors. And so when we talk about Massey and these guys in the future, defense is part of it. And he's played 8-9 games in the big leagues. So those things will come. I think he will fit. It's not the MJ Melendez where it's like, oh, yeah, he's a decent catcher. Mm-hmm. But then a decent catcher doesn't really translate to the big leagues. This guy's a gold glove second baseman. Okay. Well, then he's going to play good defense. Is he going to play gold glove defense in the major leagues? I don't know. He might, but he's going to play better defense than letting a ball go right through his glove. That wasn't a short hop. That wasn't a do or die type, quick pick with some wicked spin on it. it was a good enough hop that was right to his waist, and he was starting to turn the double play a little bit earlier, and it goes through. He made up for it by coming through in the big at bat with two outs and driving in a run, driving in Salvi to tie the game. But Bubic, you know, even with the way he pitched and even only giving up one run, the line sort of, you know, deserved a little bit better and maybe a win as well. Now, in the 13 starts for Bubic since he's been called back up, the Royals are 6-7 as a team. And that's really, you know, wins and losses and what the record is for different pitchers. I think we've evolved over the time of not really caring about that all that much. It's what the team is doing in your starts, and they've played essentially 500 ball in his 13 starts since he's been called back up. And that's what you can ask for, especially when some of those starts were when the Royals were really struggling. So you got Singer, you got Bubic. I mean, Greinke's fun to watch just because of the nostalgia and those things, but not exactly someone in a couple of years that will be pitching on this team if they're going to win a division. And, you know, Buster only this morning talking about what he's seen from Brady Singer and things like that, and said, look, these young guys can play, but ultimately the Royals are going to have to pitch if they're going to win a division. It's going to come down to what they can do with their pitching staff.
Yeah, I think Bubic has to be the story from last night and the thing that we monitor from here on out, obviously, you know, from his draft class and whatnot. But I always feel like I was kind of bullish on Bubic, partially because at his best, he's one of those guys that you could see years into the future. I mean, like 10 or 15 years, he could be a veteran who is still making it work with all the same stuff, yeah. Where he has multiple ways of getting you out. He has multiple tools in his toolbox, but the question always is, well, can you do that consistently? And can you do it whenever you can't hit, you know, what you're saying last night, 95, 96 miles an hour in that fastball? If Bubic can hit the velocity that he needs, we know what he can do with that changeup. Like, that is a hallmark pitch, but you got to be able to build around it. And if he's able to stay sort of stretched out in a way that he could be a back-end starter, that is really, really, really valuable. You have to fill out an entire rotation. And if Bubic can be an above average from whatever spot he slots into, because it's all in the spectrum there, right? We talked about with Brady Singer, too. Brady Singer doesn't have to be Max Scherzer, but if he's your number two guy in this rotation, all of a sudden you have nothing but optimism. If Bubic is at the back of your rotation, nothing but optimism. The Royals are still going to have to keep building and adding to that group, but the fact that right now we're not talking about them looking lost, we're talking about them looking in control. Even Coleman, like you said as well, in that moment last night, that inning last night, he looked like a pitcher who was playing with his food. Like he looked like he was. He clearly had the advantage, partially because of the intensity and the reactions, but also hitting his spots and doing it with a little bit of flair that if you're a hitter in that spot and it's working, you probably start coming up and saying, oh, this is a version of him I'm not sure I've necessarily seen before, certainly not consistently. So anytime we can find a way to be optimistic about the Royals pitching, I think we have almost a contractual obligation to do so, because it has been the turd in the punch bowl for enough of the last year and change.
Is it a fiduciary responsibility that when you see a little bit of a glimpse of light, that you're like, oh, wait, let's focus on that light and not all of the darkness that's been surrounding it?
The zone is a member WHIP. Instead of FDIC, it's we're all about the whip.
Exactly, yes, and that's why we focus on Chris Bubic's whip, 1.4. Not about the 3.59 ERA or anything like that. We'll take a break, but a quick looking at the next four games for this Royals team and the young hitters, the four starters the Royals will be going up against in the next four games. Dylan Cease has a 1.98 ERA.
Good.
Tony Gonsolin has a 2.3 ERA.
Pretty good.
Andrew Heaney has a 0.64 ERA. And Tyler Anderson has a 2.72 ERA.
Okay.
So next four games the Royals will be going up against. So we'll see what these young pup Royals will do against four starters that are pretty salty. We'll find out.
Have a combined ERA that's lower than Jackson Kowar.
It's a combined ERA. That's right.
Just add those numbers. I don't mean averaged. I mean add them up, and I think Jackson Kowar didn't need to catch a stray today. That's right. Not his fault. It's just I just think that's probably true.
Yeah, it probably is. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We continue rolling. Don't forget 810WHB.com. Right now the live auction going on is presented by Crown Automotive, Core First Bank, and Dimensional Innovations. That is 810WHB.com. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We're going to talk some Chiefs on the other side. You know, some videos from training camp that we watch and see and some takeaways from, you know, even a couple of days ago at camp since there was no practice yesterday. We had a conversation through the summer when the Royals had acquired Juju Smith-Schuster and MVS and things like that, of what Mahomes may do with a receiver of that caliber. And we're seeing video evidence of that sort of coming to fruition. So I want to talk about that on the other side. Craig Stout coming up in the show at some point.
We should ask Craig if the Chiefs ought to try to acquire all those guys that the Royals got this offseason.
Did I say the Royals acquired?
Maybe.
I do that all the time.
I'm just here to make sure. Yes. I don't want you to get texts about it. I figure better for me to correct you on air than for 1,000 texts to come in during the break.
Well, we
almost let it go.
We do play the clip of us talking, or me talking to Les Norman when I said, the Chiefs did this. And he was like, oh, the Chiefs got those? So I'll just, you know, mix and match.
That's
Royals,
good.
Chiefs. I do know this. They'll be both playing on Saturday. Both teams will be in action
there
on Saturday. But, yes, the Chiefs getting MVS and Juju and those. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. More Zone right after this at Sports Radio 810 WHB on a Thursday.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
What do you think of Greinke with the Chiefs? You like the deal. You like the signing and what he can bring.
I can't get football out of his mind.
I think personally.
What did I say?
I think that Greinke should pitch for the Royals.
Did I say the
even
Chiefs?
Though the Chiefs have a hole in their secondary. I think we should let him stay there.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Is the text line to be a part of the show, part of the conversation. 913-912-4810. Text says, you know, we were talking about Scott Barlow not getting a save last night. Says, do these guys not know that you got lunch on the line? The price of food these days? Exactly. Exactly. How about this, Mike Matheny? You don't get him 21 saves, you're buying lunch. You're paying for lunch, Mike.
I'm good with that, too. Do I get a free lunch if Corey's not around to claim it? Like, I don't want most of his carryover baggage, but free lunch I would like.
Yeah. Not going to happen. Okay. You can share with Beards and Mick. You guys can split it up between you.
Fair enough.
I'll get you. There will be two meals for three people.
But, you know, if that's what it takes. As long as I assume means I don't have to pay for Corey's losses. So I'm glad that I hope Scott Barlow just only pitches in the eighth inning the rest of the year.
I am. I'm just going to enjoy the table bread. That's what I will eat.
Yeah, that works, actually.
Great lunch. 913-912-4810. You were talking about, you know, tonight some sort of presentation that we'll be on stage for. The text says, you know, it takes Jason 2 minutes just to say hello. It's a good point. It's a great point.
Texter, would you believe it if I already had a bit in mind to make sure that doesn't happen? It's true.
Would you believe that there's probably a 2% chance that that bit will actually hit and it will keep me on time?
There's a 0% chance it'll hit.
Has the Oscars ever played off a presenter? Music?
You might be able to make history. You might be the first ever presenter to be. You know, first of all, before we announce our next thing here, I'd just like to thank you all for being here. And also, if I could just say, Scott Barlow, if you could please make sure you pitch in more save situations.
I'm going to tell him tonight again. I'm going to say, hey, remember, I'm the guy that you said you were going to tip your cap when you got 21 saves, right? But seriously, Scott, how pissed are you when that happens?
Because who is more pissed, you or him? And the answer is you.
Do you know how many saves he had when I talked to him that day in the interview that didn't record?
What's he at right now, 17?
Yeah.
16.
17.
Oh, no. Oh, no. He literally
hasn't
gotten one yet?
Has not had. The Royals are winning. Okay, they're winning games. They are winning games, and he has had zero saves since I talked to him about all he needs is four more, and I called him the Royals closer that day, which, by the way, go back and look at his game log right around the Vali Lama time when we were at Chicken and Pickle over off 135th, and I had the conversation with him that didn't record. It was a great best interview I've ever done, right next to the Nicky Lopez one I did right after that didn't record.
Two of the best interviews of all time.
Phenomenal interviews. But I introduced him and said, Royals closer. And his face sort of lit up. And I'm like, you know, what's it mean when you hear that? Like, you've got 17 saves on the season, and you're a guy that the Dodgers gave up on, the Royals took a chance on, they brought you up three or four different times, and you never threw a pitch, and then they sent you back down, and then you were in just mop-up duty, and they slowly but surely started, and now you're pitching the ninth inning, and you got 17 saves, and he was like, you know, it's cool to think about, you know, the progression of the career and everything, and I'm like, so are you officially then the closer? And he's like, you know, Mike doesn't give labels. He has never told me that I'm eighth or ninth. He's like, it just seemed as the season was going along. I'm like, hey, they're using me more in the ninth. Hey, again, I'm the ninth inning. Hey, I'm the ninth inning guy. And now it's just the ninth inning guy. And you can see, like, the previous, like, 10 outings for him were in the ninth. Since then, it's 7th, 8th, 8th, 7th, 8th, 8th, 9th when it was tied, 8th, 8th. Like, I am sorry, Scott. Clearly, one person heard that outside of the two of us, and that was Mike Matheny. Oh, yeah. Really? Royals closer? We don't have closers here, Anderson.
Mike Matheny's not about – he's not into labels, Jason. Mike Matheny's a vibes coach. You feel right out the situation. What's the vibe? Scott Barlow is a vibes closer. You know, whenever the vibes are good or bad, you know Scott Barlow's going to handle business. But, you know, what's a label in 2022?
Exactly. And I will say – I don't necessarily mind that Mike Matheny uses Barlow in the eighth inning sometimes. I mean, if you're trying to win games, I would much rather that be the case moving forward rather than, well, I can't throw this guy. He only comes in the ninth inning. Like, what other sport is dictated by a stat when you can play somebody who's really good? You know, they don't bring in a running back only – like, they don't bring in a quarterback just to throw the ball. Like, okay, we're throwing. Let's put our quarterback on the field.
The closest thing – I like this. This is a good question. This is a fun question. I think the closest answer is we have called a goal line back, you know, like or a short yardage back, a vulture in fantasy purposes.
Yes.
But that's about when they're entering, not when it's – like, that's a skill set thing.
Yeah.
It's if you could pitch Scott Barlow thing in the third inning because you needed to, you could, you would. Yeah. You just want to make sure you have him in crunch time.
Right, and so the closer has become so specific that he doesn't pitch unless it's a save situation or you're at home and it's a tie game. Then you throw him in the top of the ninth because you don't need a save anyway. Those are the times when a guy comes in the game, whereas, you know, there are plenty of managers out there that it's bases loaded in the eighth inning, you're going up against the number three guy, and there's two outs, and your strikeout king is sitting there in the bullpen, and you're going with a lesser guy because, you know, it's not the ninth inning yet, so we can't really throw this guy. And then you lose the game. Well, it's like, well, you know, if you weren't worried about that one stat, it's just odd. But Mike Matheny doesn't do that. And so I appreciate that. I do. Once he gets four more saves for Scott Barlow, I will be much more appreciative of that as well. So, you know, thank you to the texters, 913-912-4810. So practice going on with the Chiefs again today. They've got the pads on, and they get ready, or a longer practice, I should say. They get ready for the Bears coming up on Saturday, so the final training camp practice before they have a preseason game, and we'll see what happens in the game coming up on Saturday. And, you know, Rashad Fenton back with the Chiefs, and I think that's important, one of the things we'll talk with Craig Stout about. But if you follow some of the people that are out at training camp that can tweet out different videos that we see from, you know, plays, one-on-ones, 11-on-11, KC Sports Network does a great job of that, at KC Sports Network. And one of the things that has been happening over the last couple of days, I should say really Monday and Tuesday because no practice yesterday, there's been a lot of video with the cornerbacks v. wide receivers in one-on-ones, that Joshua Williams with a great play to undercut a pass to MVS thrown from Patrick Mahomes that he intercepts. Legarius Sneed, a one-handed interception down the sideline. Trent McDuffie, you know, locking up Mecole Hardman and then stepping in front for the interception. You know, we've seen those plays that have happened, and so it gives you encouragement of, even though these are younger guys and they're rookies, but are they talented? Yeah, they're talented. How are they going to be utilized in Spag's system? Things like that. But the other side of the football, the wide receiver part of it, to me, is what becomes fascinating, because there are clips also of Rashad Fenton and Juju Smith-Schuster in the end zone, one-on-one, and Fenton played phenomenal defense. Locked him up. Yet Mahomes put the ball in a perfect spot in the corner that Juju rose above him, caught the ball 2 feet down, touchdown. And it's like, that's not a negative to Rashad Fenton. Like, there's nothing he can do except grow 4 more inches, and that's not going to happen, which is why they like a Josh Williams, guys like that. But it was a beautifully placed football. It was a guy that can high point it, who's big and physical and is athletic enough to get 2 feet down and catch the ball. And then there's another clip of MVS against McDuffie down the sideline where Mahomes almost back shoulders it. McDuffie is all over MVS, right? It's great coverage. But he throws it to the sideline and high, and MVS, sort of bodying McDuffie, goes up, makes the catch, high points it, 2 feet down, pushed out of bounds. And the conversation we had in the offseason was, Mahomes has never had a receiver like this, except for like Travis Kelce, mm-hmm. and a few times when he would throw the ball to Jody Fortson, mm-hmm. kind of like that. Mm-hmm. He's never had that guy. But does it mean that he's going to use a guy like that? Mm. Like, does it mean that he wants to throw back shoulder throws? Does he want to throw? It's not a jump ball because that that elicits a visceral reaction of football fans.
Yeah, it's kind of
jump ball.
There's a negative connotation to jump ball.
Exactly.
You call it a 50-50 ball, and if you don't want to throw a 50-50 ball on first or second down.
Right, but even that throw to Juju wasn't a 50-50
right.
ball. Like, that's not your definition of 50-50 ball, because with that player, and Fenton's back was to him, but he's got him locked up, and he's in the corner, so what am I going to do here?
Yep.
You know, if I turn around right now, I mean, he can then move along the sideline or, you know, along the end zone, and now I might lose him. He did his job. But MVS and Juju, and those aren't the only two times they have made those plays going up and get it. It's not just that they did it. It's that Mahomes was throwing the ball there where he may have had other receivers. But you know what? I've got McDuffie, who one of the negatives is his size and arm length, right? And I've got MVS. I'm going to give him a chance. And Jesse Newell's, you know, piece that he had at the Kansas City Star a couple days ago when he talked with Brett Veach, you know, Brett Veach just with Jesse Newell. And, you know, there's different people that get different access and things like that. So reading that was interesting that Brett Veach said Mahomes told him these guys are like post players that I can just dump the ball down to. So it's not just that they have them. He's actually utilizing them. And that's what I find to be fascinating and exciting is that Mahomes, he doesn't have Tyreek Hill. But he's never had multiple receivers that he could say, you know what? Bail me out. I'm going to give you a chance to go get it because you've got a smaller guy on you, and I trust your body, physicality, and athleticism to go and make the catch, come down, get 2 feet in, let's move the chains.
Yeah, and I think framing it in that way where there were a couple of times here or there where somebody would say, well, this offense could be even better with these guys to Tyreek Hill. I don't even think that is a useful part of the conversation. What I do think is interesting is to see how different it will be, which is why I think this training camp has felt a little bit different than at least last year, and really the last couple of years. You have a run it back campaign and then sort of a pseudo, at least the same cast of stars at that point. In this instance, with so much unknown, it also gives you something to look for on Saturday. We still don't know. Andy Reid might tell us today how many people are likely to not start this game, how many of the starters might or might not be out there. I don't know if you saw the story about what Cairo Santos has had to do as the Bears kicker.
Uh-huh.
He was, in the offseason, going to parks in Florida to find grass that was similar in structure and quality to the grass at Soldier Field. That is where the Chiefs are playing on Saturday, and if the Chiefs don't want to put their players in a swamp, I'll watch the backups and take my notes, and we'll have plenty to talk about on Monday nonetheless. But regardless of who does play, I think if Mahomes is out there, it's because they want to keep getting game work with those receivers. So there are more live reps for Mahomes to work with a type of guy that so far he's only ever done against his own team.
Yeah, and so, you know, the Soldier Field aspect is really interesting. You know, looking at last year with the three preseason games, it's all we have to go off of with Andy Reid and how he might utilize guys. The first team offense, including Patrick Mahomes, got one series. Mahomes came off the field. The first team offense stayed on the field with Chad Henne. First team defense, one possession. And then after that, it was a bunch of subs that came in and things like that. So whether that was last year, the offensive line was all brand new. You know, you had five new starters at different places, so let's keep those guys out there for a few more reps, as opposed to maybe this year when you don't have all those five new starters at the offensive line. Maybe those guys come out of the game a little bit, and maybe MVS and Juju and those guys stay in. But ultimately, if you're working on that connection with Patrick Mahomes, what's the point of them being in the game if Mahomes is on the sideline and it's just Chad Henne? So I do wonder how much we see of what would be the starters on this team. Because I don't think we see him as much as we saw him last year against the 49ers in game one of the first ever three preseason game season, not knowing how Andy Reid would use those guys.
If I could just read here briefly from Jason Leisure in the Chicago Sun-Times here about Cairo Santos. Santos said it's so uniquely bad that he has to find poorly maintained public parks in Florida to simulate it in the offseason. Quote, I was going to a turf field at a high school, which was perfect. It was almost like, okay, I'm getting too comfortable. So in my neighborhood, there's a soccer field, and the grass is Bermuda grass. It's real long. I was like, okay, this is more like it. So if the Chiefs don't want to put Travis Kelce out there on the grass in your backyard with, you know, a groundhog hole dug into it,
right?
I would understand.
Yeah. 913-912-4810. And, you know, and also in talking about, like, you know, the McDuffie's size and what is one of the negatives on him. Text comes in and says, well, but McDuffie isn't little either. Like, right, he's not small. Like, he's not a small little
He has shorter than usual arms for a guy drafted that highly. It's by degrees.
But he's not like, wow, this is a small cornerback out there. No, he's a cornerback.
Right.
You know, he's a typical size. He's not Josh Williams. He's not L'Jarius Sneed. He's not one of those guys that's sort of taller or leaner. But he is stout, and he can hold his own. And that's the thing about that particular rep is that he was holding his own. MVS was covered. That's not a throw to DeMarcus Robinson. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's not a throw to Byron Pringle. Maybe it is with MVS more in the regular season. We'll see. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We continue rolling more zone right after this.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Hey, Coach, you eat pasta? Coach? Coach is gone.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Josh Briscoe, Beards. We're hanging out at Midland Theater, the 100-year celebration going on with WHB. Looking forward to tonight. Pumped, excited, anticipation. Beards has told me that Briscoe confided in him that he's got the butterflies. He's got the butterflies of being on stage.
Panicking.
Just for the first time in his life, he's going to be on stage where he's watched all these great performers there. Over so many years here at the Midland Theater. But there have been a lot of amazing acts and performers here in this building.
One of the things that like reminded me of all that was I was going through and looking for pictures from here for one thing. Or I was looking through some pictures for the event. Mm-hmm. And I ended up going through and seeing just all the pictures of different artists who I'd taken pictures of performing here.
Yeah.
So to be here tonight is going to be really incredible.
And then you can put those all together in a collage and then put your picture up there.
Exactly. Just a bunch of great. I'm hoping that I get one good photo of myself holding a microphone on the stage. So now all of a sudden I'm a peer with, you know, Donald Glover.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You and Donald Glover just hanging out with each other. That's not a big deal. Just kicking it.
Same stage, you know, different time. Who's to say?
Yes. We'll hear from Andy Reid. We'll hear from Justin Reid. We'll hear from Patrick Mahomes as well as Chiefs continue camp. We'll have to make a decision if we're going to talk with Craig Stout coming up on the other side of the break or
yeah.
not. So, because we do probably need to give him a call if we're going to talk to him next. Maybe we'll check in with Todd. And Craig Stout will either be the top of the 11 o'clock hour or coming up at noon. So we'll all find out together. Pass along Omar Bayless, Chiefs wide receiver, leaves on a cart today at Chiefs practice. More zone.